If you've been with us, you know we've been traveling through the Gospel of John together, and so we were in John 3 last time, and we're kind of jumping down in the middle of a conversation. And when I came to the most famous Bible verse in the world, I kept trying to incorporate it in, but I couldn't do it. John 3:16, very familiar. Do you guys remember the rainbow hair guy? Anybody familiar? Does anybody old enough to remember Rainbow Wig, who used to put himself in front of the camera at as many sporting events as he could? He would get behind the goalposts and hold up John 3:16. He would be at golf events, John 3:16. Networks started instructing their cameramen to never let him on screen, but he would run around and jump in front of the cameras to tell the world John 3:16, which there was a day when most people knew what that meant. When Tim Tebow wore John 3:16 on his eye black, Google nearly exploded because nobody knew what John 3:16 was, and everybody was Googling it. But that's where we are today, and there's something great going on in this verse, and so we're going to have a very different kind of morning. We're going to mix things up with singing and this, that, and the other, so just enjoy the ride. We're going to talk about something great today. The NBA finals are happening, so everybody on Facebook's arguing about who the greatest of all time is. There's the Jordan people and the LeBron James people, and then people like me who don't care. That's exactly right. So, what I find is this, that when we talk about greatness in our society, what we basically do is we come up with a definition for successful, and then we engineer greatness to meet what we have described as successful. And if you want to be really, really great, then you get really, really successful according to what we're defining as success. And today I want to talk about a different kind of greatness. I want to talk about great love. Love is at the heart of Scripture. Love must be important. If you look up the top 100 pop songs of all time, I think 80-something of them have love in them, right? So we sing about love constantly. It's worth singing about. But at the heart of Scripture, there are these commands where Jesus says love sums it all up. And if there is a love that's greater than any other love, then you and I want to get in on that. We want to receive that love. We want to do what that love does. And then we can start to see what greatness is. So that's where we're heading today. We're going to see a love that is greatest in scope, greatest in its sacrifice, and greatest in the life it gives. So, will you join me in prayer as we begin now? Lord, you are great. And the word tells us that you are great and you are greatly to be praised. And so, God, we pray that you would be praised greatly in this place today. It's not a bad thing to say that the worship was great. If that means we were able to lift up our voices to a great God who does great things and who loves us greatly, and we were able to see that truth and to experience that truth and then lift up our voices in praise and to open our hearts to whatever it is you would have for us in this place today. So we pray, God, that you would be praised greatly, for you are indeed great. And we thank you for a love that is greater than any other love. And Lord, we pray for all of those who are away today. So many people traveling, some just tired and ill. And we pray, God, that you would give them restored strength, restored health today, God. And we pray, God, for those who are traveling, that you'd keep them safe in their travels and that you would give them moments when they are reminded that you are a good and great Father and that you are a good shepherd and that you made the world they're traveling around in. God, it's a different kind of season of ministry when we enter into summertime and we just kind of make little adjustments. But at the same time, you're the same. You haven't changed. Your word hasn't changed. Your promises haven't changed. You're the same yesterday, today, and forever. And so, in one sense, there's nothing really different about this morning because there's nothing really different about you. And we're your sheep. the people of your pasture, God. And so we worship you in the name of Jesus Christ in this place today. Amen.
My heart like you do. There is none, there is none like you. Every day you're the same, yet all together new. Here I am crying out to you. Holy, worthy, there is none, none like you. Faithful, righteous, it all comes back to you. Father, how great you are. You gave up your Son to show us your heart. There is none, there is none like you. You reign beginning to end. All glory be unto you. God our Savior, crying out to you. Holy, worthy, there is none, none like you. Faithful, righteous, it all comes back to you. You are holy. There is none like there. How great the pain of searing loss. The Father turns His face away as wounds which mar the chosen one bring many sons to glory. Behold the man upon the cross, my sin upon his shoulders. Ashamed I hear my mocking voice call out among the scoffers. It was my sin that held him there until it was accomplished. His dying breath has brought me life. I know that it is finished. I will not boast in anything, no gifts, no power, no wisdom, but I will boast in Jesus Christ, His death and resurrection. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. Why should I gain from His reward? I cannot give an answer, but this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom. But this I know with all my heart, His wounds have paid my ransom.
Y'all can be seated. For God so loved the world. Now, the "for" at the beginning of this verse goes with what preceded. The "so" goes with what comes next. But just for a minute, I want to focus on the extent of this love of God. The Creator and sustainer of our universe. So we already have the greatest being, the greatest person who is doing this loving. But He so loved the world. So if you're going through the Gospel of John like we have been, we know that all things were made through Him. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. In Him is life. We see Him with crowds at a wedding. We see Him cleaning out the temple because they've made it into a market, a flea market, a bazaar, if you will. And then this man, Nicodemus, a very, very religious man, comes to Him by night, and now we're having this conversation. God so loved the world. Now, at what point, I mean, the world's a big place. I would imagine that it, when it was just Adam, it was much more manageable. I love that guy. That was easy, right? And then there's two. Okay, this is still fairly manageable. Right? I mean, the population's grown a bit. Right? Was it when there was just one language? Was it after there were lots of languages? Was it further down the road as the population began to explode? Was it at any point along the timeline that God loved the world? Has it grown to the point now where there's just too many people in too many places and God can't handle it anymore? Was it just in Jesus' day? Does he still love the world? And when this was written, it was written in past tense, but it's still in past tense today, right? So God is still loving the world. And so we usually have a mission spotlight where we pray for a particular ministry or mission that we're supporting. We're not supporting exactly this mission today because we're praying for the planet, and that would be very hard to support. Because it's got a lot of people, 7.6 billion of them. Did God know that it was going to get this big when John 3:16 was written? Right? 195 countries, including Taiwan, which the U.S. doesn't recognize as a country, but everybody else does. So we'll say 195. About 7,000 spoken languages, the most popular being 1.2 billion Mandarin Chinese speakers. And we're talking languages that were one language, and I have a friend who is a Bible translator, and he talks about how you'll have a group of people, and they all speak the same language, right? And then a great big group of them will go and travel across a mountain range and settle on the other side of the mountain range. And then several generations pass, and the next thing you know, their language doesn't sound like the language used to, because time passes and people go different places. And right, think about it. I just came from Tennessee, and my mother comes from real, live, genuine hillbilly stock. My mother is from Bear Holler. Some of you don't even know what a holler is. It's a hollow, which means it's a little valley between some mountains. You actually had to go through Bear Holler to get to my mom's house. She was from a suburb of Bear Holler called Fox Hill, which was a hill on the other side of Bear Holler. So she's back there living in this little shack, getting up every morning, and they speak differently there. They put R's in everything. They don't eat potatoes and tomatoes. They eat taters and maters. That's where that came from. If you've ever heard people talk like that, that comes from the hollers and the hills. Where'd that come from? That comes from Scottish people coming over and settling in the mountains because they like it where everything is nice and green, right? So languages just change over time. And I once lived in an apartment with four guys. One of them was a hippie from Connecticut. One of them was an African-American from North Carolina, and one of them was a redneck from Middle Tennessee. I was the only one who understood everyone in the apartment. We would sit down at a meal, and one of them would say something, and the other two would look at me and go, "Is this what he said?" And I would say, "Yes, that's what he said." Or the redneck would speak, and they would both look at me and go, "I don't know what he just said." And I would translate for them from Tennessee redneck into their respective languages. So when you take all that into account, roughly 7,000 languages on the planet. God knows all the languages, and he loves all the people who speak all those languages. But getting even more specific, 1,500-plus languages have access to the New Testament or some portion of Scripture in their language. 650 languages have complete translation of the Bible. Do you see the difference there? Only 650 languages have complete translation of the Bible. That leaves 1.5 billion people who do not have a full Bible in their first language. 110 who don't even have a single verse. They don't even have John 3:16. Still 1,600 languages in need of a Bible translation project to begin. So you pray, maybe there's someone in this room who's going to go to college and study linguistics or cross-cultural type things and go off and do this. 1,200 12,000 ethno-linguistic people groups in the world, meaning little groups of people that don't necessarily communicate with or have culture in common with other groups of people. And about 4,400 of them are completely what you would call unreached. 7,000 if you count them by country, meaning that these groups of people are scattered all around. So that means 4,400 groups of people with their own language, with their own culture, who have no church, no group of disciples who are part of their language, part of their culture. They can't, I mean, how many churches did you drive by this morning, right? They have nothing in their language. They have nothing in their culture. There isn't even enough people in that culture to start making enough disciples. Many of them would be killed for doing so. So when you say God so loved the world, you realize it gets really, really complicated when you just start drilling down into all the different languages, how many people, and yet so many people that God loves don't even know that God so loved the world that he gave his one and only son. But this is the greatest love. The greatest love is the greatest in scope. This is not vague, the world, right? We are the world, right? We love the world. This is a planet populated with individuals, individual humans that God knows. Do you remember how we finished last time where it says Jesus knew the heart of all people? So these are people whom Jesus loves, whom Jesus knows. Many of them who do not know that fact. So we're talking about a love that's greatest in its scope. Lord God, I want to thank you that we're loved this morning. Not a single person in this room, not a single person in this neighborhood, unloved. Not a moment in this day will we not be loved. We've never been unloved. We've never knew anybody who was unloved. Everyone we meet is loved. Even if we have a hard time loving them, everyone we meet is loved. We just want to praise you that your heart is big enough, your eyes are strong enough, your knowledge is great enough that you can love that many individuals. And we praise you for that. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.
Ala dunyan kana hali ayi aka denke kelempe di ku mogo men dala la ati kana halaki nga ati ka nyanma ya bambali soro
awi to dunyan ni binu haba tuma obi odudumi bala ni siu ma bi chola ma mama mera la bitinate
na mi sirina no atinda ya gaza ti de au bibin yotre ane ne za wasa odiwa kupi apo anjovuna bi kurala
Tibwen wenam nonga dunwe wusgo antumbam bilivle yen, sovning sen tembam konkiye, lana pam vim sen kaseta.
Ne diure dombe ni wahon dunya chon, ka tonamiza nikeni, ka ya dasi na da ema hiwa, ka ye mukene na mave.
Car Dieu a tant aimé le monde qu'il a donné son Fils unique, afin que quiconque croit en lui ne périsse point, mais qu'il ait la vie éternelle.
Porque Deus tanto amou o mundo, que deu o seu Filho unigênito, para que todo que nele crê não pereça, mas tenha a vida eterna.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life.
broken heart. You are my Father in heaven. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You ride upon the clouds. You lead me to the truth. You are the Spirit inside me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. I will sing again. You are my strong melody. You are my dancing rhythm. You are my perfect rhyme, and I want to sing forever. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You poured out all your blood. You died upon the cross. You are my Jesus who loves me. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. You are beautiful, my sweet, sweet song. I will sing again. I will sing again. I will sing again. I will sing again. You are my Jesus who loves me. You are my Jesus who loves me. You are my Jesus who loves me.
So the love of God is not only the greatest in its scope, it's greatest in its sacrifice. We come to the word that, which means that love did something. And it did something so amazing that the word so is put at the first half of the verse. And the word so is a big word that is talking about to such a degree. For to such a degree, God loved the world. So there must be something big coming, and that is that he gave. Now, if you think about it, there are very few things in the world that you draw a very distinct line between what they are and what they do, right? Like, I could describe a car. Yeah, it's this thing with lots of metal and some wheels and a steering wheel and some seats and a million parts. But you would ask me, well, why? Why the steering wheel? Why the wheels? What does it do? Oh, yeah. It takes you from point A to point B. And you could just go through your house and find all sorts of things that, yeah, you could describe them in terms of their individual parts, but eventually you're going to have to come to, what does it do? And we want to try to do this in our own lives because we are human beings, not just human doings, and this is part of our vision here as a church with the tree going deep down roots into who we are and who Jesus is and who we are in Christ. And then what we do, the fruit of what we do flows out of who we are. But when you go into Scripture and you start talking about love, it's so easy to just go, well, love is, right? Love is patient. Love is kind. You go to 1 Corinthians 13, right? But you run out of is's and you go, well, it doesn't do this, right? It doesn't do that. And you're immediately talking about not just what love is. And we get hung up on this. Well, love is an emotion. No, love is a feeling. No, love is a decision. No, love is a choice. And then we get hung up on what love is. And Scripture always is moving from what love is to what love does. And here's what love does. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son, or His one and only Son, or His only begotten Son, as you may have memorized it one time in Sunday school. So this love is so great, the Father gives that which is most precious to Him. His only Son, His unique Son, the one, there is no one like this Son. And we've already seen this word once, so this only begotten. It's emphasizing that there's only one of these and He's given it, right? So, I mean, this is a big deal. If you got kids, you know this is a big deal because when they're down to the last of something, they're not sharing. I've only got one left, so I'm not breaking it in half or sharing it, and you don't get a bite or a lick or whatever, right? He's got one of these, and He says He is giving it. He's giving it. And this also takes us back to the conversation with Nicodemus. If you jump right back up, chapter 3, verse 9, on down, where He describes, as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, so the Son of Man must be lifted up. So He goes back to that story of when the people are whining and complaining, the food's bad, it was better in Egypt, da-da-da-da-da, and the snakes come into camp and they start biting people, and God says, hey, Moses, make a snake, put it up on a pole. When the people look to it, they will be healed of the poisonous bites they received. And He says, that's what the only Son will do, is He will end up lifted up, right, in death. So this isn't just, hey, here's my Son. He's giving Himself up. He's giving Himself away. When Paul describes this, he says this downward trajectory, that He, being in very nature God, He didn't consider equality with God something to be grasped. He makes Himself nothing, being made in human likeness. So the Son becomes a human. The Word becomes flesh. And then He takes the next step and He becomes a servant. And after the servant, He becomes obedient to death, even death on a cross. So there's this downward mobility, if you will, in the life of Jesus Christ and in the giving of the one and only Son of God. So this incredible love for the world motivates the greatest gift that God has to give, His one and only Son. And this is one of the great pictures that Scripture gives. Do you remember Abraham going up the mountain? He says, take your son, your only son, right, Isaac. And there he was to offer him. And it's a big deal. And you feel that you want to cry when you read that because you just think, oh my goodness, what if this were my only child, right? And you just feel that. You feel the weight of that. And you feel the sadness that must have been in Abraham's heart. And then God jumps in and provides a substitute. And that is what we see that the Father is doing. He is sacrificing. He is giving, right? He's going all the way with the gift. We often say this is, right, this is the difference between the chicken and the pig, right? The chicken gives an offering. The pig gives itself, right? That's how breakfast works on the farm. So what is he doing? This isn't just, hey, son, go and give an offering. It's, son, go and give your very life. So, two that's. That's the first that. For God so loved the world that He gave His only Son. So this love that is greatest in its scope is now greatest in the gift He gives. Join me in prayer. Lord Jesus, how can we thank You enough? We sing it just now. We sang it and we sang it earlier. How can we sing enough, though? You are the Jesus who loves me. You poured out Your blood. Blood is life. And that's not just a sacrifice, that's an offering. And God, when You gave an offering, You gave that which is and was most precious to You. And so, God, we are moved. That love isn't just an is, that love does. This isn't just You talking love. This is You doing love. Love is a sacrifice. We praise You and we thank You, Lord Jesus, for surrendering to that. In Your name we pray. Amen.
From the ground, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Speak the lost and heal the lame. Jesus, bring glory to Your name. Let all the prodigals run home. All of creation waits and groans. Lord, we heard of Your great fame. Father, cause all to shout Your name. Salvation spring up from the ground, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Seek the lost and heal the lame. Jesus, bring glory to Your name. Let all the prodigals run home. All of creation waits and groans. Lord, we heard of Your great fame. Father, God's all to shout Your name. Stir up our hearts, oh God. Open our spirits to all who You are. Put a cry in us so deep inside that we cannot find the words we need. We just weep and cry out to You. Salvation spring up from the ground, Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Seek the lost and heal the lame. Jesus, bring glory to Your name. Let all the prodigals run home. all of creation waits and groans. Lord, we heard of your great fame. Father, cause all to shout your name. Salvation spring up from the ground. Lord, rend the heavens and come down. Seek the lost and heal the lame. Jesus, bring glory to your name. Let all the prodigals run home. All of creation waits and groans. Lord, we heard of your great fame. Father, cause all to shout your name. Stir up our hearts. Stir up our hearts, O God. Open our spirits to who you are.
Stir up our hearts.
Stir up our hearts, oh God. Open our spirits to who you are. Put a cry in us so deep inside that we cannot find the words we need. We just weep and cry out to you. Lord, we weep and cry out to you. We just weep and cry out to you. To you. The greatest love has the greatest scope. The greatest love sacrifices, gives the greatest gift. Y'all can be seated. And now we have one more that. So for God so loved the world, that he gave. That, so it's three tiers. Great love for the world, motivating the greatest gift of his son. Now, another great gift, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. Whoever, whosoever, maybe you memorized it way back when, whoever. So apparently the world is full of whoevers. And they are to look at the sun, like the people go back and looked to the snake, lifted up, looked for healing. Whoever, this world full of whoevers, whoever believes might receive eternal life. And it doesn't say so that whoever gets their act together, right? Whoever cleans themselves up well enough, whoever keeps the rules, or at least keeps them better than most of the people they know. And we know some people, don't we? Right? So you're like, whoa, are you serious? Whoever, Dean, you must not know some of the people I know. Whoever. There's no footnote, there's no asterisk that says, well, yeah, you're right, there are those people. No. Whoever believes, whoever trusts, whoever places their faith in. We saw the word back in John 1, a great little synonym here. To all who received him, to those who believed in his name. So the picture is someone has empty hands.
They're not coming with a bunch of stuff and saying, well, I'll trade you all this good stuff I've done. Here's my church attendance. Here's the poor people I fed. Here's that person I didn't scream at, but I really wanted to. Here's that dude I didn't hit that time, and I really wanted to. Here's the guy that I didn't get out and do road rage to. I just did it in my car. Here's this and all this stuff I didn't do, and I never really murdered anybody. That seems to be high on the list. And I did this, and you don't come with hands full of stuff. You come with empty hands, and God gives a gift, and you receive the gift. You don't try to earn it. That would be horrible for your birthday or for Christmas, right? Oh, thanks for the present. I'll wash your car. I'll do the laundry, right? That would just be a horrible way to spend Christmas or your birthday, paying back for the gifts, right? That's not why people leave price tags on the gift. That's an accident, right? You don't do that. And so what's the gift? Well, he's given his son. Along with his son comes eternal life, which is the opposite of perishing. And as we'll see next week, that people are perishing by default. And if life is eternal, that's a gift. And then there must be an eternal sort of perishing. So, eternal life. Now, that's interesting because just travel somewhere in the world. Go down to Houston. Go find a place maybe where life isn't that great and say, hey, would you like to live forever? In this? No. Thanks, but no thanks. This one isn't going so well here. Why would I just want more? Right? That would be a burden. Nobody wants that, right? And eternal? Isn't that kind of long? Right? There's an old saying, we're surrounded by people who want eternal life, but they don't even know what to do with a free Saturday. Right? Man, eternal? It's a long time to be playing a harp or whatever it is you do. Right? Sounds like a burden. But what he's describing here isn't just a quantity of life. It is a quality of life that you don't have to wait till you die to receive. We're going to see in the Gospel of John, for instance, John chapter 5. He's going to say, whoever hears my words and believes in him who sent me has eternal life. He has passed from death to life and will not come into judgment. And that's just one example of what we're going to see in the Gospel of John, that eternal life becomes a present possession. Therefore, it's not just that we don't die, which we don't, because it's just a transition. We'll see that later on in John 12. But it's not just that, it's a life, a quality of life, the life of Christ himself in us, moving from death to life, brought out of perishing, a quality of life that starts now. And so because it's eternal, time can't touch it, the world can't touch it, nothing can touch this life. And how do you get that? Can't work for it. You have to receive it. God will not be insulted. God will not be insulted by you working for it. Because how much are you going to do? Where's the magic line where you've done enough? Right? How good is good enough? So there's the gift. You receive that. And then we live that out, right? So think about that. If the number one quality or character or attribute of God, the number one motivator of God, if you will, is love, what's he going to put into us when he gives eternal life? He's not going to give us any less than himself. He's going to give us love. So we are loved. You are loved. You need to receive that today, right? And I know there's this something in you, you've heard it so many times, God loves you, that you kind of just think it's his job, Right? That's just what God does. He loves people. He can't help himself. And besides, what's not to love? I mean, come on, really. No, it's not that. It's he really knows you and he really loves you. And he never, you can't make him love you more. You can't add to it. And you can't make him love you less. He loves you. And so you just need to be open to that. And I remember one time I was at a Billy Graham evangelism seminar over a weekend up in Wheaton University, and there was this worship leader who was on this worship team, and she led, like, I think 4 or 5 different sessions. She would start off with worship, and she said the same thing in her prayer at the very end of her prayer every single time before we sang, and it was something to the effect of, "And Father, may we all really know we're loved." She's prayed that every single time. It's like 5 times. "Father, may we all know we're really loved." And the first time it was like, well, who? Come on, we're all pastors. We know we're loved. That's, you don't even need a master's degree for that, right? But just as we sang together and as we learned together and as we worshiped more and more, that prayer just became just kind of soaked down into me. And I'm singing this song and it's like, yeah, wow, the Father loves me. And so just know that you're loved, and then that your life can be marked by love. If there's any group of people that should be marked by love, it's the church. That should be the primary mark, the primary distinguisher. That's what Jesus said to his disciples. They're going to know you're my disciples. They're going to know you're my followers because of the way you love each other. Not anything else. It's just going to be the way you love each other. So Francis Schaeffer called this the number one apologetic for the gospel is the love of God's people. Because you can argue all sorts of stuff, but if we're loving people, that's hard to argue with, right? It's hard to argue with the person who just served you, right? Whatever you disagree about, love is very hard to argue with. As a matter of fact, when the fruit of the Spirit is listed, what's the very first thing? The fruit of the Spirit is love. And it's listed in such a way that everything that follows love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control, it's as if love is the fruit, like an orange, and all those other things are just a slice of the fruit, right? So what is joy? It's love rejoicing. What is patience? It's love waiting, right? Just going on down the list. So if we live this, then we go all the way back to the beginning. Love keeps the planet in view. Love prays great big prayers. And I know this, wow. Have you ever just sat down and prayed for people on the other side of the globe, maybe an unreached people group, and you go, man, that's just so far away, and I don't know the language, and I don't even see the people. And yet God's heart is for all the nations, all the world. And so God moves us to have unreached peoples and people without scripture in our hearts. And he gives us his love for the nation. Some of you have already been stirred to that. Some of you young people in the room already being stirred to that. And you want to pray and see how God wants you to maybe go to the ends of the earth. I had a professor, missions professor, and these young people would come to him and say, "How do I know if God's called me to go to the ends of the earth?" And he would always have the same response. "How do you know he hasn't?" Well, okay. How do you know he hasn't? Why don't you assume he is until he tells you he's not, right? George Verwer, who was, you guys probably don't know George Verwer, he's Operation Mobilization. They have these huge cruise ships that they purchased, and they go all over the world doing medical missions. And he's very blunt. He would come and speak in Bible college, and he was just so forceful that you just wanted to do just, yeah, send me. And what would happen is there would all this counseling would take place the week after George Verwer came, because all these men would be in chapel. And he would just get them so stirred up, they were just going to move to Africa the next week and just send me to a tribe. And they would go home and tell their wives, "Honey, we're going to Africa. And they'd be like, ah, I don't go, Africa, really, are we? And they would go, you've got to help me. My husband says we're going to, right? And so the counseling load would go up whenever George Verwer came to town. And he would just always be like, his famous line was, you don't need a missionary calling. You just need a good, swift missionary kick in the rear. That's what he would always say, right? And it just sounds so. And then you get back to this and you go, God loves the world. God loves the world. And Paul says, I am compelled by the love of Christ. And then it's a sacrifice on our behalf. Tim Keller calls love the greatest freedom limiter, right? We live in a world where everybody just wants their freedom. Hey, I should be free to do this. I should be free to do that. I should just be free to do whatever. And he's like, well, these people don't know what love is, right? I mean, okay, you take a fish, right? You take him out of the water and you throw him in the grass and you say, go, be free. Fish, come on, man, enjoy your freedom. And the fish dies. And you go, come on, fish. Is that the kind of thanks I get, right? For setting you free from that water? And it's like, no, freedom, there are ways in which freedom doesn't work. Freedom happens best, right, like a train on tracks. The train might say, I want to be free and go through that field. Well, the moment it gets off the tracks, it's not free anymore, right? But boy, is it free when it's doing what it's designed to do, right? So if God designed us to love the way he loves, suddenly there's limits. Right? I mean, how simple is this? Men, women, did you have a little more freedom before you got married? Did you have a little more freedom before you had kids? Right? Strange things happen. You can't just get up and leave them in the house. Right? Sprinkle a little food around them, you know. Hey, you know, here's the bottle. Yeah, that's how that works. Yeah, I'm off. Doesn't work that way anymore. You can't just go with the guys. But you don't just go, well, this stinks. You go, wow, this is love. Sacrifice? I didn't sacrifice. I got love. Right? Take it even further. Hudson Taylor left a potential life as a doctor, a potential lucrative career, had all the education, had all the training, and God called him to China. So he leaves it all behind. He goes to China. He gets to the coast of China, and that's where he was going to stay. And he realized, well, all the missionaries are on the coast, and there's nobody inland. So he treks inland to inland China, where no missionary had ever been before. And he's having to learn kind of different dialects, and he's trying to adapt to this culture. And it's really, really difficult. And he would end up founding China Inland Mission, a huge mission started by this one guy with a heart for inner China. And if you think about all that he left and all that he gave up to reach China, and when he came to the very end of his life, someone was interviewing him, and they said, well, was it worth the sacrifice? You sacrificed all this to go to China. And he just laughed and said, sacrifice? I never made a sacrifice. I never sacrificed anything. Why? Sure you did. No, I didn't, because what I got in return was far better than what I gave up. And so love gives up things. Love sacrifices. Love is constrained, if you will, but it's the most wonderful limit to freedom anywhere. Right? If you've experienced love, you know that. And so, God so loved the world, he gave his only son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have eternal life. And those who receive eternal life, present tense, get the love of the Spirit placed in them. That love constrains us to love the same world God loves and to live out a life of love to the ends of that same world. Many of the ways that are mentioned there in your bulletin. Let's pray one more time before we sing. Lord, we can sing love songs and some good ones. And sometimes they even get it right. All you need is love. But we just don't know love until we look to Jesus Christ on the cross. And we hear the words, whoever believes. Because I'm a whoever, and I've proven myself to be not such a good guy at times. And I've known a few whoevers, and this is what love is. That the most holy, wonderful God gives the most greatest of gifts to undeserving people who gladly receive it and then do whatever it takes to spread that love to the nations. But we just want to all start right now with just the fact that we are loved amazingly. And I pray, God, for my brothers and sisters that this love would compel us, that this love would send us. Lord, as we go into our week, many of us will have an unlovable neighbor, an unlovable coworker. We'll walk into a room and there'll be some unloved people there. And God, I pray that our eyes would be so opened this week and that we would see that we're sent to the unlovable. And we're going to see that we're the unlovable. And we're sent to the people who don't know how loved they are. And God, for those who have had a glimpse of the nations this morning and the need of the nations, God, would you keep that burden burning on their heart, and may anything that gets in the way of that be gladly given up for the sake of the glory of Jesus in the nations. Lord, we don't want to go this week in some sort of concocted thing that we came up with. We want to go in the love of Christ and in the worship of our God. May that compel us. In His name we pray. Amen.
You are the healer of my soul. All I am and everywhere I go, my secret place, my rest in faith I know. You are the healer of my soul. When I'm weak, you are strong. When I'm hurt, you are healing. In death you are life. When I'm lonely, you're bringing your love, holding me up. My Redeemer and Conqueror, Savior and Friend, oh Lord, my salvation, my song till the end, my victory, Deliverer and Lifter of my head. The healer of my soul. All I am and everywhere I go. My secret place, my rest in faith I know. You are the healer of my soul. When I'm weak, you are strong. When I'm hurt, you are healing. In death, you are life. When I'm lonely, you're bringing your love, holding me up. My Redeemer and Conqueror, Savior and Friend. Oh Lord, my salvation, my song till the end. My victory, Deliverer and Lifter of my head. Your blood, Lord Jesus, makes me whole. Wash my heart and make me white as snow. Give me rest. You hold me as I go. Lord Jesus, makes me whole. When I'm weak, you are strong. When I'm hurt, you are healing. In death, you are life. When I'm lonely, you're bringing your love, holding me up. My Redeemer and Conqueror, Savior and Friend. Oh Lord, my salvation, my song till the end. My victory, Deliverer and Lifter of my head. When I'm weak, you're strong. When I'm weak, you are strong. When I'm hurt, you are healing. In death, you are life. When I'm lonely, you're bringing your love, holding me up. My Redeemer and Conqueror, Savior and Friend. Oh Lord, my salvation, my song till the end. My victory, Deliverer and Lifter of my head. My victory, Deliverer and Lifter of my head. My victory, Deliverer and Lifter of my head. Lord Jesus makes me whole.
I need to offer two hallelujahs before we go. Hallelujah for the blood of Jesus. And amen. Worship team, we just did it. That's the, in all my years here, we've never been able to clap to a song. We are the most dysfunctional clapping church on the planet, and we just actually kept beat with a song. I'm almost in tears up here on the front row, y'all. Praise the Lord. May you be compelled by the love of Jesus this week. Thank you.
You've been listening to Sunday Morning at Creekside Church in Spring, Texas. We're glad you joined us. For more information, please check out our website at www.mycreeksidechurch.org.